Yeah, so what we're doing today is stepping out of the Who is Jesus series, although I think that we're going to learn something about who Jesus is today, inserting into it a kind of a review or just a sharing of what I felt was being stirred during our days of dedication, because that's always a time for us as a church to stop, dedicate our church to Jesus, and listen. Not that we have to have any kind of directive come to us, because the point is that we're saying, Jesus, take your church and lead us forth in this year, however you want it to be. But he's pretty consistent, has been consistent with bringing things forth that really feel in the spirit like a focus and like a thing that he wants for us. And so I always enter into it listening. Because, as I said before, God isn't absent, and God hasn't stopped speaking, and so he's saying something to his church. And it's important for us to realize that political movements come and go, and God keeps speaking to his church to be the church. And he's lived through, a lot of kings and kingdoms and movements and communist China, but he's always speaking to his church. Church, be the church. Be the church. The world needs to smell the fragrance. I think that's what he's saying. And so I want to share with you those things that lead to that and the scriptures that surfaced that I feel like started to coalesce in a single kind of message. Even though they were separate scriptures, they kind of came together there. So how about if you just pause with me for a moment and get all of our hearts ready to hear what he has to say. So Father God, we ask that you would anoint our hearts as a church, as a church body, to hear from you. I'm the messenger, but I'm here to simply convey what I feel you are speaking to your church, and praying that it will land in a way that we will hear it and receive what our God this beautiful Jesus is actually wanting us to hear from him today. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing your work in us. Amen. So I started today by saying, we were all so glad to see, 2020 is over, and then we go into 2021, and it hasn't started any better. But we pray that it will be. In March of last year, we had the COVID pandemic shift life for all of us on the planet. In May, George Floyd was killed, and that unleashed in the midst of a pandemic, which was messing with all of us psychologically, emotionally, maybe even spiritually. And then George May is killed, and then there's this sudden confrontation as a nation with racial injustice. And in a way that we couldn't just sweep it under the rug or ignore it or say, let's just get on with life. It was like, no, we can't. And following that, which is still an open issue, the protests of the Black Lives Matter became confrontational and divisive to us as well as a nation, and even to a certain extent in the church, where it was really, really hard, if I can put it this way, I suppose I will, it was really hard for white people to face up to some truths about a system and a culture that is biased by its makeup and nature against people of color. And that it was actually having brutal and painful results in lives of people of color, and we couldn't anymore turn a blind eye to it. That would be wrong. And so we started walking that out, and then we come in the fall to a contested election, which was compounded by, for us in the church, a linking together of our faith and our politics so that the two became one in an unholy alliance and It's hard to say things that you know are maybe not going to be received well by people that you love. So I'm gonna break the train of thought here for a moment. I realize that a sermon is not a dialogue, okay? And it's a monologue. And you don't get a chance to say but to it. You can. You know my email address. You're welcome to do that. You can't do it on Facebook, praise God, because I'm not on there. Boy, that was strategic. But I want to just to let you know that I recognize that. I recognize that this is not a dialogue, and I want dialogue. As Kelsey prayed for that, and it's like, yeah, can we all talk to each other? But I am going to continue on with things that I think to be true, and you can disagree with those. And I would be glad to hear your opinion. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to fight with you or debate with you, because I think that is the deeper issue of what's wrong with the church. But anyway, I want to say that and just to acknowledge that as a church, the community of Christ, I really struggled with wanting to walk around some of this stuff. But I think we don't benefit from that. I think we don't grow from that. And if that causes, I know there will be people who don't like me as much as they did at the beginning of the sermon by the end. And I just want to tell you that I still love you, and I want to hear your opinions, and I want to share mine, and we can dialogue to whatever extent is possible with COVID restrictions. Because I want that to be the culture of our church and the understanding of our church. So, back to the stream. That is a contested election where many in the church attached their faith to their politics, and that created a crisis. And as we know that there is a saying, we don't talk about religion and politics. I don't know if you've heard that saying. You can talk about anything but religion and politics. Why? Because those two things, and I don't understand completely the psychological foundation for this, but those two things have access to our emotions and our anger immediately. And we may be able to discuss many topics, but when it comes to those, anger comes forth, and anger begins to see the other whose opinion is different from yours as a threat. And that threat creates a very defensive reaction. We feel very threatened, and it touches something in us, and really, sometimes ugly things come out. And if you've been on Facebook at all, you'll know that. I had the unfortunate experience of seeing on Facebook after the election, an African-American woman post saying, you know, praise God for the outcome of the election, the presidential election. And then the response from a white Christian woman saying, absolutely not. This was from Satan. And this woman's reaction, like, whoa, what? And back and forth until finally one of them said, what is it you call? Oh, in capital letters, unfriended. These two women are people that I have been in the trenches with in prayer for the sake of Jesus and his church, who have taken on Satan and his wiles, and who have worked together side by side for the sake of Jesus and his glory. And the conclusion, based on a political issue, is unfriended. This is off. This is way off. We are off. We are way off. And as I was listening to God in the days of dedication and hearing him say the word that came to us first was transformation. And the word transformation came to Barb Kleckner. And later, she received her Bible promise card, and it was from 2 Corinthians 3:18, which I want to read to you now, and says, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." So she was thinking about transformation all day long for some reason, and then her scripture promise card comes and says, "We are being transformed." And I had been looking at 1 Peter and being drawn to that, where Peter says that though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though it's refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So I began to feel like Jesus was saying, church, COVID, racial injustice, contested election, all of these things, this was, you know, during our days of dedication, all of these things are going to refine you so that you can be more pure in your heart and your faith, so that you can look more like me, so that the world can smell the fragrance of me in you, my church. And my sense was, God wants to change us because where we're at right now is off. It's wrong. There are many good things. Don't get me wrong. There are many good things. There are many wonderful things. The church is doing some amazing and wonderful things, and the aroma of Christ is on the earth. But there are some places where the odor is an offense to the rest of the world, that unbelievers are looking at the church and saying, if that's what Jesus looks like, no thank you. And Christianity is not looking good to a lot of people right now. People who are unsaved and looking for some kind of hope, some kind of truth. And what they're getting from us is repelling them, not attracting them. And their souls are at stake. And if it's because dear ones, we have begun to compromise the purity of our allegiance to the kingdom of God and Jesus as our divine monarch. And we're compromising that with worldly institutions and temporary structures that we have welded together with that and made the two as one, then we have erred and diminished the beauty and the glory and the truth and the purity of the kingdom. And God is calling us to disengage those things. But deeper than that, even, God is calling us to be a people whose character shines in the midst of every forum, situation, and enterprise on planet Earth. So when we look at this transformation that I believe God is speaking to us and that we have to change and that there's a lot at stake, I see Romans 12:2 as the natural place of God speaking to us. And in Romans 12:2, it says, "Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed," the same word in the Greek as in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Metamorphosis would be our word for this Greek word. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So what we're being trans, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. You, dear ones, there is a pattern of this world. There is a way people in this world do things. There is a way that people solve their problems in this world. We saw the world and the pattern of this world on Wednesday when a group of people who, based on this contested election, are convinced that it was a fraud and was stolen and have been encouraged to storm the Capitol to get it back, pressed through the police barriers and brought destruction on the Capitol and threatened the lives of the people within there and caused five deaths to take place on that day. That is not our way. That is not our Jesus. I think that everyone would agree that that was egregious and wrong. But you know what, you guys? Just like we would all agree that murder is wrong, and Jesus said, "But if you've got hatred, the root of it is in you." We would all agree that adultery is wrong, and we would never do that. But Jesus said, "Yeah, but if you've got lust, the root of it is in you." And we will look at what happened on Wednesday and say, "That is so wrong. That was so wrong. I would never do that." But is there a root that leads to that, that nevertheless is in us? And just like hatred and lust, God is looking at that and saying, "Tear that root out." Because that root started in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve said, "We want this for ourselves." The pride of man, the boast of man, the independence of man, the lack of submission, the lack of humility. It lives in all of us, just like lust does and hatred does. And they have an end that is terrible. And we saw it on display. So when we look at what it is that God is after in us, it is to be more like Jesus. That's what the text in 2 Corinthians said. The text in 2 Corinthians said that we would, by glory, be transformed, metamorphosis. We would be changed. We would be changed into the likeness of the Son. That the goal, that the work that God is doing in us is to make us more like Jesus. And then, so it's like, well, then what does that look like? And the greatest display of that is found for us in Philippians. And we look at Philippians chapter 2 and read there this. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude, now this is your mind, this is your mindset, how you look at life, should be the same as that of Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The key ingredient to be transformed into someone like Jesus is humility. Humility. And I know, I almost don't even want to talk about it because everyone says, oh yes, of course, humility. That's really good. Now, I've noted in the past that nobody's ever done a conference on humility, and I don't think that anyone would show up to it. But I almost don't want to say, because everyone will agree, but as soon as someone takes something that you think belongs to you, humility is out the window. It's a theory. It's a thing. It's like, yeah, Jesus humbled himself. Yeah, I'm supposed to be like that. But when it really comes down to it, when there's really a conflict, when someone challenges me on Facebook or posts something that I don't like, where is that? Where does that go? It's not in us. It's in our heads because we think it and we know that it's right, but it's not in our hearts because we haven't died. And pride is in its place. And pride leads us into all sorts of terrible places. The pride of being right. Oh, my goodness. Those two women on Facebook, you know, I'm right. You know, and then we who are Christian attach God to it. Right? Because I'm right because God, and God's on my side, and God is, but I'm right, and God's with me, but who's God? And then we're angry, and then this is all pride. This is all pride. It's the Garden of Eden. It's Adam and Eve. It's what's caused every ill thing in this entire human experiment, and it's in us, and it comes out, and it's ugly. And God is saying that the unbelieving world smells it. Second Corinthians 2:14. Maybe that's it. Second Corinthians 2:14. There it is. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Because of humility, there is a fragrance in the world. So God is using, God didn't cause COVID and he didn't cause racial injustice and he didn't cause contentious politics, but he's using them to bring change in our hearts and in our church, if we will allow it. God wants it because his glory is at stake, because He is changing us into Jesus' likeness to the praise and glory of God. This is all unto his glory. To bring him glory and to release the aroma of Christ on the earth to be an attractive fragrance so that the unbelieving world, that's still our concern. That's still our concern. You know, it's still that the first concern of our hearts and the church is to be like Jesus, whose first concern is to seek and save that which is lost. And when we allow things, we allow our opinions and our arguments and our need to be right and our pride to create this ugly, stinky aroma that repels the unbelieving church or world, we're just off. And we've forgotten the purpose of why we're on this earth, which is to be like Jesus, give him glory, let the fragrance attract people so that lost souls can be saved. So what's that even look like? What is humility? Well, how do we walk out humility? Because we all agree to it, but then we just immediately toss it aside when someone disagrees with us. Well, Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount, didn't he say, if someone asks you to go a mile, go two? Or if someone asks you for your cloak, give it to them. Your overcoat, your coat. Someone asks you for your coat, give it to them, and give them your shirt too, or your shoes. If someone asks you for something, give it to them. So if we put that over the context of what we're all going through today with all of these things, I mean, if a black brother or sister are asking me, they're asking me, will you listen? Will you even listen? Will you even care? Will you care that when we marched on the Capitol, they gassed us and shot us with rubber bullets? But when the white people did, they took selfies? Will you even listen? Because as a black person, that really looks bad. That really hurts. And we don't understand. When doctors and nurses are begging their American citizens, saying, would you please stay home and wear masks and social distance because this is killing us. We are running out of energy. We can't even keep this up. Please, please help us. And if someone asks to go 1 mile, you'll go two, of course, right? Because you follow Jesus. But you won't do that because they're wrong. Because you read a Facebook article. Okay, obviously I just crossed a line. This is not fair for me to say that and not have you, who are of a different opinion, be able to say something back. I acknowledge that. Because I know that you can find reasons why you think the government is stepping over its bounds and why masks may not be useful. So, my own position on that, and I think it's clear, it's important for me to clear this up because I think there's some misunderstanding. Because people have said to me, we understand that the bishop of your denomination is requiring these things. And I want you to know that even if he wasn't, this is still what I would do. I'm not doing it because someone's telling me to. I'm doing it because I feel that this is the right thing to do. And it simply is that if my government authorities say that we're going to follow the public health department's recommendations, which is that people shouldn't be gathering and churches are a bad place for that because they sing together, then I'm going to say, okay, you've asked me to do that? I'll do that. Now, my bishop has also asked me to not hold services as well because they want to honor the governor and they want to honor the public health department and the experts who make that up and say, this would help us. And so it's like, okay, I'll do that. And when I see my brothers and sisters who are nurses and doctors asking their fellow citizens to please do this. It's like, of course I will. But you may have a different perspective on that, and you don't get a chance to say it. And so if I have offended you in any way with what I just said, please forgive me. And rather than decide that you can't walk with me anymore as a Christian, let me hear your perspective, and let's see what it is that, you know, may be true in the midst of it all. But here's the thing that I'm trying to get at, and that is, I might be wrong on my science of this, and somebody might be able to point that out to me, but I am not wrong in my desire to walk the humble path and do what others are asking me to do for their sake. So yes, I could be wrong scientifically, but you guys, that's not what Jesus is looking for. He's not looking for us to be right scientifically. He's not looking for us to be right politically. He wants us to be right in the character of our hearts, in how we follow him and how we love one another. That's what he's looking for. In fact, folks, that's what the world is looking for. The world is not looking for Christians who are so impressive with how they argue and debate about whether to wear masks. The world isn't looking for Christians who are so politically motivated and organized and astute and powerful in their lobbies, and they're going to pass things through and they're going to get the right thing. The world is not impressed with Christians who do that. We're just another group. We're just another group of people on the earth vying for our desires versus somebody else's. That doesn't do anything. But when in humility we serve, when in humility we go the extra mile, when in humility we give to whoever asks, when in humility we show that there is another world and another realm to which we have allegiance, and this one is not it, then the world says, what's that about? Because that's different. When all the groups around us are angry and shouting and boasting and claiming, and we just become one of them, we're nothing. We've lost any moral high ground or spiritual strength and influence. And Jesus is and God is saying, you guys, this will not do. This will not work. You think this is difficult? You think the fact that COVID keeps you from being able to go out to dinner is a hardship? Wait. And if you don't have character, and if you don't have humility, and you have not been transformed into the likeness of Jesus, how will you stand? I believe that God is after our hearts. He is after our character. He wants to cause us to die to self so much that we become just like his son, so that the aroma and the fragrance can touch the unbelieving world in an unprecedented way before unprecedented tribulation comes. All the things that happened this last week, some of the pictures are in my mind, you know, that are awful and horrible of, you know, people smashing the Capitol building, of people sitting in offices and carrying podiums away and dressed like animals and screaming and yelling and all of this ugliness, the ugliness of humanity. But there was one picture that touched my heart. And touch the heart of the world. And I want to show you that picture now. So, Kristen, can you pull that picture up? Is that up? This is a senator. His name is Andy Kim. He's a 38-year-old senator. His parents were both immigrated to the United States from South Korea. He said when he walked into the rotunda and he saw all the mess, it broke his heart. And he got down on his knees in his suit and tie. He got down on his knees and he filled 6 trash bags full of trash, just spent hours taking care of the Capitol. And when he finished that, he went into the other rooms and he started picking up there. And that picture of this senator on his knees in the trash, cleaning up after the rioters had been there, has been shown all over the world over and over and over again. Why? Because the world, the world sees humility. The world recognizes what it looks like. That, now, Andy, I don't know of his relationship with Jesus. He says that being in the Senate, he's a young man, he's 38, he's got 2 children, he's Presbyterian, it's his religious affiliation, and he refers to his being a senator as a blessing in his life. But bigger than that is just the picture that catches the world's attention, right? All this storming and all these things. And it's like, then there's this one man. And the whole world stops and says, this brings tears to my eyes. That's what the church is supposed to look like. That's what the feeling that a person has when they see that picture, that's what they should feel when they look at the church. They just say, oh. They came to pick up the garbage, but instead we're creating more of it. And that's what Jesus wants to stop, because he sees the power of the other. He knows the power of the other because he is the power of the other. He gave up his place in godliness in heaven, and he humbled himself to obedience to the cross. Humility broke the power of Satan. Humility broke the power of death. Humility in us will break Satan's stronghold on our world while there's still time. We have time to become a humble church. Now listen, listen. Let's start right here with something. If you have released any kind of negative spirit through your comments on Facebook, I invite you to repent of that. You may have been right, but if you do it with the wrong spirit, you're wrong. No matter how right you may or may not have been, because that's not what matters. What matters is how you did it. What kind of people are we? That's what matters. Are we reflecting Jesus? Are we releasing humility? Or are we just adding to all the boastful pride of man and nobody's going to tell me what to do mentality that everybody else has? I want you to repent of using social media in a way that would ever hurt or damage another person. I want you to go and clean that all up. In as much as you are able to apologize and say, please forgive me for the harsh comment, for the angry comment, for the belittling comment, whatever it was. Clean it up. Get it off your page. Get it off your posts. Eliminate it. Apologize for it. Let's start clearing the air. Because of all the other things that are going on here, folks, your heart and my heart and the body of Jesus in this world needs cleaned up so that we can clean up. the rest of the garbage. But we can't clean up the garbage if we're producing it. Start there. Start with social media. And then extend it beyond that to having an honest dialogue with someone who thinks a little differently than you, without getting defensive, without vilifying that person, without please, without demonizing that person, and just see them as a person who might think things differently than you because they read a different book or they read a different post. I'm telling you what, some people have determined their entire opinion on something from one little article that somebody posted on Facebook, and that was that for them. Stop that. And engage in people and their lives and break through the pride. And the lack of humility. That's what I think Jesus is saying to us. And I want us to end here today by going back to something that we said at the very beginning of this pandemic, you guys. At the very beginning of this pandemic, when things started and people were freaking and grabbing toilet paper before anybody else could get it. And I'll remember and all that, it was like selfishness just rose to the surface. And it's like, who are we? And how will we walk through this? How will we follow Jesus through this? And we presented this truth that it's like, wait a minute, what's the mark of a Christian? Their political party? Their stance on this issue? Their stance on that issue? Their ability to debate? Their scientific knowledge? Or is it love? How will the world smell the fragrance of Christ if the first priority of our hearts is to love one another? And that means our black brothers and sisters. That means the doctors and nurses. That means the people who could potentially get COVID from me because I got it from someone else. Love one another is all-inclusive of the world that Jesus died for. And it starts right here in the body of Christ and how we treat one another, how we speak to one another, how we honor one another, even if we don't have the same opinion on something. Humility will enable us to love. So let's just end our service today by going back to where we started from in this whole pandemic thing. And remember, Jesus said, they will know that you follow me by how you love one another.
Thank you. Spirit makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. And they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Please pray with me. Dear Jesus, forgive us for losing sight of you and how beautiful you are and how desperate you are to reach an unsaved world. Forgive us for forgetting you are our divine monarch and our allegiance is to you above and beyond all the structures and forms and political groupings of this world. Forgive us when we have allowed the patterns of this world to form us instead of being transformed by the renewal of our thoughts. Forgive us when we have turned on each other in complete opposite of everything you taught us in the Sermon on the Mount and by your own life and in your word. And we've embraced pride and boastfulness and the need to be right. And we've turned to chariots and horses instead of turning to the name of the Lord. Forgive us. Forgive us, Jesus, when we've hurt each other. Forgive us when we've dismissed each other. Forgive us when we've walked away instead of entering in. Forgive us when the aroma that came forth from us was not a fragrant attraction to you. Forgive us that we have, and we all need to be honest about this, we have all caused people to be repulsed by Christianity because of what we have embraced or what we have said or how we have acted. Forgive us. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, change us, God. Change us. Change us. Change us in our hearts to be more like you. And change your church, Jesus. Change your church to be a fragrant aroma. Change us, God. To be Jesus to the world, refined, transformed, in humility, releasing you. And may it be said that they knew we were Christians because of how much we loved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. And we will see you this week and next Sunday. Take care.